This show furnished by Rowan Gervian Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervy and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
Yes, here we are. I am Alan Gervy, and welcome to Gervy's Law for everyone listening in the wonderful city of Los Angeles right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And for everyone else who isn't privileged enough to live in the Los Angeles area and listen to 790 KBC, who are listening on the internet at kabc.com, streaming live, I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervy and Wynn. And today, I am here to be the managing partner of your life, here to help you out, to help you with some decisions on this election. Do we know that there's an election coming up?
What?
Anyone heard of it?
No.
Who is that voice? Am I channeling? Is this a seance?
Oh, man, this election. Kind of scary.
This election?
Yeah.
Forget about the election. I have Kerry Kasem here with me. Where have you been? You've disappeared. Finally, my co-host is right beside me in the flesh, looking as radiant as usual.
Well, thank you.
And you're here for our election show.
I am. I'm very excited about this.
I almost said our erection show. I meant
that
to say
it would have been terrible.
Yeah, terrible. As I said, sitting beside me here. I meant the election show.
You just woke everybody up that's in their cars. Huh? What did that guy say that?
Oh, boy. It's been a long election.
Oh, yeah. A long one and a scary one. At least in my eyes, I'm really not happy about what's been going on.
No. Wait a second, Kerry. You're the one that's not happy?
No.
I didn't know that anyone wasn't happy about what's gone on in this wonderful country of ours.
Oh, gosh.
I've got to tell you, Kerry, I haven't found anyone who is happy. I even the Clinton supporters who, in West LA and in the Valley where, we live and we play.
Yes.
Even our friends and our Facebook friends and everyone are starting to just cower a little bit. We're not seeing as many posts like we did before about how awful Donald Trump, and if Donald Trump's elected, I'm moving to Canada. We're not seeing that anymore. All of a sudden people are saying, who's going to be our president?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the president? Because it doesn't look like there's a viable choice here.
I agree with that 100%. And, I do have some, very opinionated views. And because I have, and I've been trying to get my bill passed in 50 states, for the elder abuse prevention bill, I've really kind of step back a bit from giving my opinion, because when you're trying to get a bipartisan bill passed, you don't want, to be favoring one side or the other. But I have to tell you, I'm not happy at all with either candidate. And I hate even talking about this, because it's not, I think there's some potential.
Where's the potential?
No potential for indictments, criminal indictments. There's no potential for anything, but criminal indictments. And I've been reading so much. I can't even believe we have these two people as our candidates.
Right. But you have supported Hillary Clinton, even though you're a Republican. In the past. I'm not saying at this moment. During this election.
Never.
You have been outspoken against Donald Trump.
Never.
Never.
Never. I've not been outspoken against either of them. I've never once on air said anything about either of them, except I tend to skew more Republican, even though I am registered independent. So I don't vote the party. I vote the person. And I've never once said anything against Clinton or Trump radically I think.
In public.
In public,
that's
yes.
Because you want to protect who you are. You don't want anyone passing judgment because you have a lot of friends who support Clinton. And I know you don't
support
Clinton.
What are you talking about? Why are you doing this?
I'm just cross-examining
you. Wait, why are you? I mean, no, people are really going to take you seriously.
About what?
Alan, people are going to take you seriously, and that's not fair to me.
But no, I don't know what I'm trying to understand your beliefs because I know you're pro.
You're pro Trump. You're pro Trump, Alan. And I'm
that's true.
Right. And I just want to know why you've been talking.
I will not be voting in this election, not because I choose not to vote. I cannot vote. I'm not a citizen. There is a choice. Gary Johnson, who's a libertarian. Who a lot of people, I think, wish had a personality because they would probably vote for him. And I think a lot of people will vote for him anyway because they just can't get themselves to vote for Trump or Clinton. And this is sad.
What's Aleppo? That's all I can hear. That's all I can hear in my head when I think of him. That's it.
It's an animal.
Yeah.
A leopard.
So I can't, I mean, I'm just really, you know. Syria is one of my most favorite places I've visited. I've traveled the Middle East extensively, and I'm so sad about what's going on there. But, I mean, if anybody's listening...
Are you in favor of the refugees coming
in? If anybody is listening to Alan Gervey talk about where I stand politically, nothing that is coming out of his mouth is the truth. He's totally trying to incite me and get me going. So I do not discuss my political views. I used to do a political talk.
You're pro gun.
I am. I used to do a political talk morning show, and there I would discuss and be opinionated and talk about it. But in the field that I'm in now, working in nonprofit and working for, you know, against elder abuse, I cannot at this point take my opinion public, and I'm not doing a political show, and there's a reason
for
that.
Well, this is a political show today.
No.
Fortunately for you, Carrie Kasem, we have with us one of the foremost political experts in the state of California on the show today. We will have, after the break, Bob Stern, and he has been teaching a class at UCLA Extension called The November Election. And he is past president of the Center for Governmental Studies. He has been involved with politics in this state for many years, even though he was a graduate of Stanford Law School, or is a graduate, I guess. He was principal co-author of the Political Reform Act of 1974, otherwise known as Proposition 9, which passed by 70% of California voters. So he has a really great reputation of not being necessarily on one side or the other, although he has his opinions, and he will help you out because I know you have no opinions when it comes to the propositions. A lot of people out there, by the way,
Alan Gervey.
By the way,
are you out of your mind?
By the way,
what happened to you?
Carrie Kasem.
Who hurt you?
I've been hurt many times. Let me tell you something. A lot of people, let's get serious for one second, because we are kibitzing, as we like to do. Carrie, a lot of people have no clue about the propositions in California. They have no idea what they'll be voting for, which one is a yes, which is a no. Why we're voting?
Well, they wait to get
for
there.
For a proposition.
And
so
they read it right
talk
there.
We're going to talk to Bob Stern about it so he can clarify what these propositions. And, folks, we're going to take a break in a minute, but you need to call all your friends because this is going to help you. This is your primer for the election coming up in a couple days. This is how you can study so that you can vote in a much more proficient way and have some knowledge of what you're voting for. Because, again, it's not just the president of the United States that is being elected or being voted on. And, you know, it's funny because one of the things that blows me away is that I talk to so many people, they've already voted.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, why do you have an election day? Why don't you just say, here's a ballot that's coming in the mail, mail it in by whatever date, and that's it? I mean, why are we voting ahead of time? Why don't we wait to see if you're saying that Hillary Clinton may be indicted before the election?
You know what? The stuff I'm reading and what I'm reading about in the letters that they have found on Wieners. So I think over 500,000, the police chief of New York said, if you don't reopen this case... I'm going to send everything we have to WikiLeaks. I'm going to go public with this. Something has got to be done.
All right.
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. So right?
The main thing today, folks, is that you learn about what you're voting on come election day on Tuesday. And that's what we're going to talk about. So during this break, email, text, call all your friends. It's called Gervie's Law. It's on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Cold weather is here. Keep it out and save. Get 15% off select special order windows and doors at the Home Depot. Outfit your house with new doors and windows, including installed windows, from top brands like Anderson, the number one brand. Keep your family warm and cozy all season long. And get 15% off select special order windows and doors, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid from November 16th, installed windows available in select markets only. See store for details.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. But even today, there's still one path to success that only requires a dream and about $10. Because if your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. Right now at Vistaprint, you can get 500 customized, high-quality business cards for only $9.99. That's $9.99, and your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. Just go to Vistaprint.com. Use promo code 3399 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3399.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
Election Tuesday, KABC takes over the legendary Smokehouse in Burbank. Join Doug, T-Ray, and all of your KABC faves for election results, analysis, and prime rib. The most unusual election in U.S. history deserves the most unusual election night coverage. Your Common Sense Election Headquarters, 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are turning every law upside down right here on Gervie's Law. We are having a good time so far talking about this election that will be on us before we know it. And I know a lot of people are happy that it's going to be over, although they may not be happy with the result. Carrie, are you looking forward to the end of everything that we've endured, which is the election?
I think even after the election, we're going to have to deal with the repercussions of things that are happening. I don't think it's like the end all be all. I think there's a lot of issues that are going to continue on.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. Big ones.
I compare it to a trial. I'm in court all the time. We have trials. And just because I finish a trial, we wait for the decision, it doesn't mean it's over. There's an appellate process. We're always reliving the evidence and the facts in the case, and especially in this election, because it's not going to go away whoever wins. And by the way, in our opening, I do want to correct Kerry, because Kerry accused me of being a Trump supporter, and I of course said yes, which I'm not a supporter of anyone. I'm Canadian. I can't vote. Thankfully, my wife is the only reason that I'm in the country, and my children now, who are Americans, she is having a tough time, by the way, making a decision. I think a lot of people, given what's happened over the last little while, a lot of people have had a very difficult time. A lot of people do not like, I don't think I'm saying anything, they don't like Donald Trump. They don't like what he is and who he is and what he represents. But then again, you know, there's a big fear of Hillary Clinton. So you look at this choice, and I don't know what's going to come of it. And that's why we need guidance today. We need the expert. We need a guru. And we are going to have a guru join us right now. Bob Stern is someone who you want to talk politics with. This guy knows what he's talking about. He's teaching a class at UCLA Extension called the November Election, which has come upon us. He's the past president of the Center for Governmental Studies from 1983 to 2011, general counsel of the California Fair Political Practices Commission. He has been called the godfather of modern political reform in California. He was a principal co-author of the Political Reform Act of 1974, otherwise known as Prop 9, which passed by 70% of the California voters. He knows this stuff inside out and backwards, and the people need to know about these propositions. They need to know about this election. Bob Stern, welcome to Gervie's Law.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Alan and Kerry.
Great to have you. So let's start right from the top, because we want to spend some time with you going over the ballot measure propositions. And I actually want to talk to you, you know, lawyer to lawyer. You have your law degree, obviously. And I want to talk about the validity, the legal aspects of propositions versus legislation. Before we get to that, we would be remiss if we didn't just mention this little thing called the presidential election. Now, I am not going to ask for any partisan politics here, but tell us from your expert analysis what we're looking at just a couple of days before this election. What is going to happen?
It's hard to predict. 10 days ago, I would have predicted Hillary Clinton would have won overwhelmingly.
Right.
Given the James Comey situation, I think it's hard to predict. I think she still wins, but 60-40, something like that, in terms of a percentage, in terms of whether she'll win or not. And instead of getting 400 electoral votes, which is what people were talking about, it could be very close. And you may be right. We may not know the results by next Thursday. If we have another Florida situation, if we have close elections in some of the states take a long time to count the ballots.
Right.
So we may be talking next Saturday about this.
And if she does win, and I happen to share your opinion that I think it'll be very close, and I think it wasn't going to be close, but given what's occurred over the last couple of weeks, I think it will be. I think she'll prevail. The question becomes, what happens as she is waiting to become president with the investigation, and whether people are going to wonder whether she'll ever be sworn in?
Well, that's right. There could be, obviously, an indictment after the election. I don't think there could be one before the election. And there are several different scenarios. Question of course, first of all, she has to win before we have these problems. But then it gets down to if she's sworn in as president, she cannot be tried while she's president. That's the law. The president cannot be tried while the president. Then there's a question of impeachment.
Right.
And the tradition is that Congress does not impeach a president for transgressions that occurred before the president took office. Now, probably the Republican Congress would say, wait a minute, we're not going to go with the tradition that goes back to 1873. We're going to impeach her. But then it would take a two-thirds vote in the Senate, and the Republicans aren't going to control a two-thirds vote of the Senate. So it seems to me there'd be a lot of Sturm und Drang, but I'm not sure that there's going to be any change. The big question is, can she govern? If she gets elected, my guess is that she will probably have a Senate majority of maybe 50-50 with Tim Kaine casting the deciding vote. So the Democrats probably will control the Senate. Clearly, the Republicans will control the House. And the real question is, will people want to try to do something for this country and work together? They had a lot of problems with Obama. He wasn't the same type of legislator that Hillary Clinton was. Apparently, she gets along quite well, at least got along quite well with the Republicans.
Right.
But the big problem is that the Republicans are campaigning right now on the basis that they don't want to work with her. And so we'll have to wait and see what happens. My guess is it probably will be 4 more years of pretty bitter government with her issuing executive orders, with some things being done, maybe infrastructure. because Trump has been supporting infrastructure payments for that, maybe a health care revision. Everybody agrees that Obamacare needs to be revised.
Right.
The question is it repealed and revised or just revised? She would say, look, it needs to be revised.
But
so those are two areas I think that, and then, of course, the Supreme Court.
And that's what I was going to say. We're going to talk a little bit about that. The Supreme Court nominations, what's going to happen?
Well, my guess is, assuming that she has 50 or 51 senators, and that's a big assumption, but
right.
I think that probably would be the case if she wins. Then the question becomes, is there going to be a filibuster for Supreme Court justices? As you know, Alan and Carrie, for lower court justices and also for other Senate confirmations, the Senate has said that they can't filibuster those.
Right.
But for Supreme Court, they can. My guess would be that Chuck Schumer, who would be the new majority leader, would say, okay, we're going with the nuclear option. There'll be no filibuster for Supreme Court, and she will get her Supreme Court justices through. I think Merrick Garland will be the one that she continues to nominate, and of course he is much more acceptable to others, but she might come in and say, look, he's too old. He's in his 60s. I want to have a younger person
yeah.
who's there forever, and so I'm going to appoint somebody else. We just don't know at this point.
She would be smart to continue with Garland, because I think if she brings in someone else who perhaps is younger and a little more left-reaching, that's going to be pretty upsetting to a lot of the Republicans. And again, we may be looking at a filibuster. You know, a lot of people didn't necessarily agree with what occurred over the last 8 months with President Obama's nomination of Garland. Because they felt that at least there should have been some hearings. So it doesn't bode well, and there are some important issues that need to be explored.
Well, my guess is if the Republicans control the Senate, we may go 4 years without another Supreme Court nomination being confirmed.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big one. I was reading last night about the emails that were found. It was Wiener's emails, and some of the stuff is almost unbelievable regarding Hillary Clinton, and chief of police in New York stating that, you know, if something isn't done about it, I'm going to go public with these emails that we found. And people are saying, you know, that the FBI director Comey should resign. Do you have anything to say about it? And have you read, you know, what's going on over there?
Well, I've been reading a little bit. My feeling is if she's elected, while she could get rid of Comey, because it's at an at-will appointment, he has a 10-year term, but she could get rid of him. She won't do so because that would have a firestorm. So that's my guess. My guess also, my speculation, is that while things are going to be very embarrassing for her, my guess is that she will not be indicted and she clearly won't be convicted.
You know, the other thing is that I hate to pass judgment without seeing facts. And right now it's a lot of hyperbole, a lot of rhetoric. And I just can't share. As a lawyer, I'm very circumspect about what comes out in the media. So I think we have to wait and see. And it's all speculative at this point. People can say what they think are in the emails, or, you know, and I'm not defending anyone. I just say, you know, we need to see real facts and real legitimate media that is looking at words that are not just made up or speculative in nature. Quickly, before we go to the break, I just want to talk a little bit about Trump. And there was an interesting article written about, they called you the straight arrow president of Los Angeles Center for Governmental Studies, who helped Jerry Brown create the Fair Political Practice Commission in 1974. In your class, you said, and it's very interesting, how you could vote for Donald Trump. Could you just explain to the people how you presented this to your students about how they could vote for Donald Trump? Because it's a compelling argument.
Well, assume that Trump ran as a Democrat and that he said he would accept the Democratic platform. And he won the nomination because Bernie Sanders didn't run. He ran on the trade situation. He also said that he'd appoint Merrick Garland, his first Supreme Court justice, and perhaps Barack Obama as his second. And he still made the same outrageous statements that he's been making. So assume he's the Democratic nominee, and he's running against the Republican nominee, Ted Cruz. I asked my class, almost most of them were voting for Hillary.
Right.
Overwhelming number voted for Hillary. So, okay, class, it's Trump versus Ted Cruz. How do you vote? And about two-thirds of those who were voting for Hillary said they would vote for Trump over Cruz. And I said, now you know why Republicans are supporting Donald Trump, because they hate Hillary so much, you hate Cruz so much, you're a strong Democrat, they're a strong Republican. Now you know why Republicans are. I said, and can you believe you just voted for Donald Trump?
That's great. And, you know, it shows how divisive the country really is. And that example really puts things in perspective because, yes, it's true. Donald Trump may win. We don't know what's going to happen the next day or two, and he may win. So before we go to the break, just quickly tell us, what does a Trump presidency mean? Will there be people who will be conscientious objectors, so to speak, in the government?
Well, I think a Trump presidency would mean a strong government, getting rid of Obamacare, an immigration policy, tax cuts, and it would not be a divided government, because if with a Trump win, you'll have a Republican Senate and a Republican House. So if you don't believe in divided government, if you believe government should be responsive, then you probably should vote for Trump, because the Republicans will join with him. Now, will he be able to accomplish everything? No. He has to realize there's a Supreme Court that will rule some of his things unconstitutional. He has to realize that Republican Congress will also say, wait a minute, we're co-equal branch of government. We're not going along with you. We're not rolling over you. You're not the CEO of us anymore. So I think he would accomplish a lot more than Clinton. For Democrats, of course, for liberals, what he would accomplish would be, they would say, would be terrible, and they wouldn't like it. But he would accomplish a lot.
But that's not what we always are hearing now. We're hearing that people fear Donald Trump, not the Republican policies or quasi-Republican policies, but they fear the man. Is that something for people to be concerned about?
Well, he certainly has demonstrated some real problems in the sense of being very thin skin. My guess is, and I know a lot of my friends think that this is terrible for me to say, is that he would rise to the occasion, that he'd be a much better president than people who oppose him think he would be. They won't like his policies. They will deplore his policies, but he won't be the wild man. After all, people said about Ronald Reagan, they were all going to move to Canada and join with you, Alan, up in Canada, if Reagan was elected, and very few people went up there. It was too cold for them, Alan. That's the reason they didn't go.
And I agree with what you're saying, Bob. The only, I guess, problem that I have is that I thought that was going to take place in the debates. I thought he was going to rise to the occasion and come off more presidential, and it didn't happen. So perhaps he will if he's elected, but you wonder why that didn't happen in the debates.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I've heard that, and this may be not true or not, but I've heard that she had a psychologist on staff and that the psychologist was telling her how to deal with Trump and how to push his buttons. And she certainly pushed his buttons during the debate, and he responded in ways that you don't want a president to respond.
Yes.
But a lot of people want change in this country, and they're overlooking the fact of how Trump acts because he represents change.
Right. We have to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the California ballot measure propositions after the break. You're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790. ABC.
I'm Jay Steinfeld, founder of Blinds.com. I started my company with a mission to make the overwhelming problem of purchasing and installing blinds simple. When you call Blinds.com, our expert design consultants walk you through everything. You get free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee means you can do this.
Now through November 21st, go to Blinds.com, use promo code WEST. And when you buy three blinds, you'll get the fourth free. That's Blinds.com, promo code WEST. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The King's 50th season is underway.
Heading Jet Royale, Cowboy Flat, and Frenchie Lemieux for the King's.
And the only way to celebrate a golden anniversary is by raising a silver cup.
Score! Kings win the game!
Tonight, the Kings wrap up their three-game homestand as they take on the Calgary Flames live from Staples Center. Coverage gets underway at 6:30 with Inside Kings Hockey. Kings, Flames, tonight at 6:30 on your home for the 50th season of LA Kings Hockey.
Go, Kings, go!
790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we're back. You're listening to Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Kerry Kasem, and we are speaking with politics expert Bob Stern. Bob Stern has been called by Washington Monthly a campaign finance guru. Peter Schrag of the Sacramento Bee called him the godfather of modern political reform in California. He has a lengthy history of being one of those go-to guys for politics and elections and financing in these campaigns. He's teaching a course, which I imagine will be ending or has already ended, on the November election. It's a seven-part UCLA Extension course. And Bob, we want to talk a little bit about the ballot measures now, the propositions. Before we talk about individual ones, I just would like to ask a simple question. Why do we have propositions when we have a legislature who are supposed to be passing laws? Why are we selecting certain issues to put in props versus just having others that are the subject of legislation?
Well, there's two reasons. Well, a lot of reasons, but two reasons I can think of. One, the legislature will refuse to act on certain things. For example, I wrote the Political Reform Act dealing with campaign disclosure, banning lobbyist gifts, and having tough conflict of interest rules. We went to the legislature and said, here are our bills. What do you think? They turned them down because they didn't want to do things that would affect themselves. I had one legislator said, hey, these bills are really great, Bob. You did a great job. What makes you think we'd pass these bills? We're the victors under this terrible system. We might become the victims. So there are measures dealing with campaign finance, measures dealing with cigarette taxes, with the death penalty, with marijuana. The legislature doesn't want to touch those issues because they're worried there'll be a backlash
afraid.
To them.
They're afraid.
The second reason is you also have to realize there are some rules where it takes a two-thirds vote of the legislature to pass, for example, a tax increase. It doesn't take a two-thirds vote of the public to pass tax increase at the state level. So it's, in a sense, easy to get a majority vote. For example, cigarette taxes takes a majority vote of the public. It would take a two-thirds vote of the legislature. So those are a couple of reasons. But the basic reason is we've had this since 1911. Hiram Johnson put this through because the legislature was dominated by special interests, particularly the Southern Pacific Railroad. And some people feel the legislature is still dominated by special interests. The interesting thing about it, 1911, there were 23 measures on the ballot that were put on by the legislature. 22 passed. And the one that nobody knows about is women's suffrage passed that year by a few thousand votes.
Wow. But, you know, I want to say one thing because you talk about these being perhaps a fairer way to address some difficult issues. But aren't there money people behind the propositions to actually get them on the ballot?
Yes, if you have enough money, you can get almost anything on the ballot. But only a third of these initiatives pass. And if big money is spent against an initiative, as is being spent against the tobacco tax initiative, Prop 56, as being spent against Prop 61, the prescription drugs, most likely those are going to go down. But big money spent on behalf of initiatives doesn't necessarily mean they'll pass. PG&E had an initiative a few years ago. They spent $50 million. The opposition spent $500,000. It went down. Mercury Insurance had an initiative on the ballot a few years ago, spent, I think, $30 million. It went down. So just because you have the money, you'll get on the ballot because you can buy enough signatures to get on the buy enough circulators to get it on the ballot. But just because you're on the ballot doesn't mean it'll pass. And the voters are very, very cautious when it comes to these measures.
You know, it dovetails nicely with the Citizens United case because, you know, we've had a number of people on our show in the past from our Erwin Chemerinsky to Professor Amar and McConnell. We've had debates about United, Citizens United. We talked to Alan Dershowitz about it. But the issue is it doesn't necessarily mean just because money is behind or a candidate that they're going to necessarily win. We have Prop 59 about the Citizens United. Why is that on the ballot, and are they trying to overrule a federal case, precedential case?
Well, that's one of two measures put on the ballot by the legislature. It's not an initiative. And the legislature saying, just give us an advisory vote on this. Do you like Citizens United? You know, tell us if you want us to do everything we can to overturn Citizens United, maybe a constitutional amendment at the federal level. It does, but that vote doesn't mean anything except you're expressing your point of view, saying we don't like the case. Frankly, the more important vote than 59 is voting for president, because the next president appoints the Supreme Court, and Citizens United was decided by a 5-4 vote. And with a new Supreme Court, that could be overturned. But a lot of reform groups are saying the public should send a clear message to Congress, should send a clear message to the Supreme Court that they don't like that decision.
Yeah, well, I got to say, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference what California thinks, because, like you said, it's going to come down to a Supreme Court. Carrie, pick a proposition and ask Bob his opinion on it.
Oh, you know what proposition I'm going to pick.
Plastic bags?
No. We're going to go 63, Alan. Where it regulates ammunition sales, requires lost and stolen guns to be reported, and makes gun theft a felony. I have a major problem with this, regulating ammunition sales. I mean, you already, and look, it's not like I have a stockade and I'm completely, I do, though, own guns, and I do protect myself and my home. I, though, being a 5'5" small woman, cannot protect myself in my car, cannot protect myself while I'm walking to and fro and going to different at night. I can't. California will not allow me to protect myself, which is disgusting. And now I have a problem. It just seems like any little thing you can slip in to take our rights away from us is happening. What do you think of that? I know I'm definitely, I would love, Bob, to have your opinion on this.
Well, the legislature passed very similar bills already, and what this does will solidify what the legislature has already done. It's put on by Gavin Newsom, our lieutenant governor, who wants to be governor in 2 years. So it's a way for him to get his name out across there. What has surprised me is while the National Rifle Association opposes Prop 63, they haven't spent any money against it. They're using their money against similar initiatives in Nevada and in Maine. Because it's probably too expensive in California. And I think they've basically said, West Coast liberal California is going to pass this. And so why waste our money on it? And I expect probably if people don't vote no on all the initiatives, my guess is that Prop 63 will pass.
You know, and I hope
so
it does.
Upsetting.
You know, we are diametrically opposed. I'm not pro-guns, and I think regulation. I remember Erwin Chemerinsky saying that he's not against getting rid of guns. He's just in favor of regulation. And I think in this state, that will pass. I don't think it's going to make...
How can you have an IQ as high as Erwin's? Mr. Chemerinsky is unbelievably, smart, incredibly intelligent. Yet he is for gun control. It makes no sense.
Bob, do you have an answer to that question?
Zero. I don't
get it. Well, there are a lot of people who think the gun control is necessary and a lot of people who want to protect their guns. This doesn't take away anybody's guns, obviously. This is for registration. This deals with felons who have guns. It deals with the with background checks for ammunition and things like that. So it is more regulation. And, again, it's sending another message. If Maine and Nevada and California all pass these things, then Congress may take a look at it, and Kerry may be more upset with Congress looking at it. For the Republican Congress, it's unlikely it's going to pass. NRA is very powerful in Congress. And again, this is an initiative because the it was felt that the legislature wouldn't do anything. In this case, the legislature actually did pass some bills, but they went forward with the initiative anyway.
You know, I just don't understand how someone can say no to making gun theft a felony. Like,
No, that's not. That's not it. They're sneaking in other things that are. I mean, it's just. This is what they always do. Hey, here's
Bob,
a great prop.
Is that true?
Here's a great prop. Let's sneak in this stuff and get this passed too. Yeah.
Well, when you're writing an initiative, Carrie, as I've written, you want to put as much as you can in there. This is not a pun, but you only get one shot at it.
That's funny. And you know the other thing that's interesting is. For the life of me, and I'm not the least intelligent person in the world, half the time I can't figure out what they're saying, whether to vote yes or no, because it's so confusing. When you talk about the tobacco lobby or you talk about, you know, the gun lobby, insurance lobby, you know, whatever lobby you were talking about, they do confuse things.
I agree, you don't know which way to vote.
Yeah.
One thing you do is you look at who's supporting and who's opposing, who's spending the money. I mean, when you have the tobacco company spending lots of money against Prop 56, you know that that's going to hurt them. When you have the drug company spending a lot of money against Prop 61, you know that, that's going to affect their bottom line. And then you take a look at who's supporting these propositions. And also, I take a look at the newspaper editorial boards and see what they're saying as well. But what most people do is they'll talk to their friends. What do you think about this? Who do you think supporting? Who's opposing? And what I've found really interesting, very rarely do we pass anything where the voters wake up the next day and say, oh, we made a terrible mistake. Why did we pass that? Oftentimes, I think they turn down initiatives they should pass.
Yeah.
But there are very, very few initiatives. Now, gay rights was one where in the year 2000, 61% of Californians voted against gay marriage. In 2008, 52% voted against gay marriage. If you had the ballot on the ballot today, probably 40% would be voting against gay marriage. And so we've seen a huge shift. And I think on gun control in California anyway, I think we're seeing a shift as well.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, we just look back some months and look at the Brexit vote, and you know that people the day after had a lot of people were a little confused and wondered what they really voted for. So I think what you say really rings true, and it may ring true with some of the propositions this year. Before we take a break, because after the break, I want to talk about some important props, the marijuana death penalty props. But before we do, I have a question on Proposition 55. So it's attempting to extend the temporary tax increases on incomes over $250,000, which was mandated by an earlier proposition. I think it's 1% to 3%. How does Governor Brown get away with trying to legislate into the future after he's gone and is not in control of the legislature?
Well, Governor Brown doesn't support Prop 55. He hasn't taken a position, as far as I know. He has raised some concerns about it, although the Democratic Party is supporting it. What they're saying, and the big yeah. backers on this are the Teachers Association,
right?
Because the money goes for schools and for health care.
You're saying theoretically it does. And by the way, when you talk about Brown and the Democrats, I think there's a little disconnect, but that's my own personal opinion.
Yeah,
on
there is on 51 also the yeah. School bond measure
yeah.
as well.
But anyway, go ahead and I do want you to address that. Are propositions a way to try and legislate into the future by saying that this is going to go on for, you know, 15, 20 years when, like you just gave great examples of gay marriage, that things could change?
Well, all laws, as you know, Alan, legislate in the future until they're repealed, whether they're passed by the legislature or anybody else.
Yeah, but that's a legislature. It's not proposition.
Well, the legislature could put another measure on the ballot repealing any of these provisions, and the voters
True.
Can voters can change their mind, and occasionally. Now, death penalty is another one where the voters have said we want to have the death penalty. They're given the opportunity this year to reverse themselves.
Yep,
marijuana,
yep.
Another example.
Well, that's a good point. We're going to talk about the death penalty. We're going to talk about marijuana, and I'm really anxious to hear what Carrie has to say about that because I don't know. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We're talking to Bob Stern. We're going to talk some more about the California propositions after this break.
This is Senator Bernie Sanders. The pharmaceutical industry, which charges us the highest prices in the world, is spending $120 million to defeat Prop 61, which will lower the cost of prescription drugs in California. Enough is enough. It's time to pass Proposition 61.
Join the California Nurses Association and Bernie Sanders for a yes on Proposition 61 rally, 10 a.m. Monday, downtown at Pershing Square. Vote yes on Prop 61, paid for by the California Nurses Association Initiative PAC.
Take a trip down the aisle you'll never forget at Mamma Mia, Broadway's smash hit musical based on the songs of ABBA. Everyone's having the time of their lives at this guaranteed get happy hit about a mother, her daughter, and three possible dads. How can you resist?
Coming to Sagerstrom Center for the Arts November 22nd. Visit scfta.org.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. Sunday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law, and I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are getting prepped for this election. Carrie, have you learned a lot today about what we're going to have to be facing in a couple days?
No, because I've read all the propositions.
Oh, come on. Bob Stern, who's our guest.
I learn a lot from him and his opinion.
He is the guru.
I would love to take one of his classes, actually.
You should.
Bob,
do you have any other classes? Because I know the November election class, that's done. What's next?
No, we have one more class after the election to talk about the election. Yeah. And my classes are being podcast, actually, at UCLA Extension.
So you can hear
20 minutes of the two-hour class each week.
Oh, just 20 minutes. No, I'd like to take a full class.
UCLA Extension, right, to get those podcasts.
Well, it's free to anybody who wants to.
Perfect.
Right? Yeah.
That's fantastic.
All right. So I know a lot of people want to listen, especially before the election. We want to talk about right now Proposition 64. That's the sexy one, legalizing marijuana. Carrie.
You know, I have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with marijuana being used for medicinal use. I don't. I don't have a problem with that at all. The problem with marijuana is the fact that it's not what people smoked in the 60s and the 70s anymore. It has been altered to it is a drug now. And for anybody to go, this is a natural herb, this is natural, you're kidding yourself.
But drugs are legal.
Listen to me. You're kidding yourself. So if you think that, you know, look, I don't think all these drug addicts and these people need to be in jail, like these marijuana users need to be in jail. I don't think that's a place for them. But to legalize it, to say it's okay, kids grow up seeing their parents smoking it, not okay.
Well, what about alcohol? People grow up
and I think that's awful, too.
You think alcohol should be on a proposition?
No, look, I have a problem with it only because I have friends who have destroyed their lives with it. I have watched from high school till now every single day.
But the same arguments can be made with alcohol. By the way, Carrie, I completely agree with you. We never agree on anything. I am definitely, and I don't usually, because I'm so cynical and sarcastic, I never make my opinions known,
right.
Especially being a Canadian.
But being a talk radio host, you got to have an opinion.
I have to ask you this. If it is legalized, what's the deal with the federal law, which still makes it illegal? How do you reconcile it?
Well, both Trump and Clinton have said they're going to continue the policy of not enforcing the laws at the state level. You have Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska all legalizing it. You have 25 states basically legalizing it through medical marijuana. And we have four more states on the ballot this year legalizing it as well. So if they all pass, about 61% of the country would have legalized marijuana or medical marijuana. So I'm undecided on this one. I mean, I think I'm listening to you guys very carefully because I'm not sure about this because there are some pros and cons. Since you've given the cons, I'll give on the other side just for a moment. This, you know, people are going to smoke marijuana anyway. The question is, should people go to jail for smoking marijuana? And 8,000 people a year do go to jail for this. Should we have an underground economy? With this proposition, we'll get up to $1 billion a year in additional taxes. Should we be educating people about the problems of it, which this proposition does? Should we be doing more studies and tests to determine how to determine when somebody is driving while impaired? This proposition does that too. So I think there are a lot of things I can say would help, but I think also I have a big problem with people getting high on marijuana,
right.
Just as I have a problem with people getting high on alcohol.
You know, I have one response to you. I don't buy anything in that argument. I know it's not yours. You're just presenting it. But bottom line is, by passing this, I think you're enabling. We are enablers, allowing future generations to take it for granted, which what Carrie said, I agree with. I don't think it should be taken for granted. So if I can have any input in your decision on this prop, I hope I have. But why don't we move on?
I guess the bottom there, but should people go to jail for possession? That's the tough part I have.
No, I don't think it should be legalized. But
if it's not legalized, then
you know what? Well, yeah,
how do you enforce the law? You're right. Absolutely. It's just so upsetting that let's make drugs legal. And then, marijuana is not a drug. Wake up, people.
No.
Wake up. It is. And maybe it wasn't. Maybe you had an argument back in the 60s and 70s. You don't now.
Put people in jail.
But no, I do not.
Well, would you make tobacco illegal? Because that's a drug, too.
Absolutely. And as is alcohol.
It's more addictive than any other drug.
You're right, but it does not alter the mind like marijuana and alcohol.
All right.
We got to move on.
It causes people to die.
Right, but we're not having smoking
Carrie?
Smokers. Hold on, run into people at night, or on the street hitting people because they're smoking a cigarette.
For another day. Yay or nay? Is that one going to pass, Bob?
I think it's ahead at this point. I think it's going to be very close. I think my vote might decide it.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything more. We'll know when the results come in. Let's just talk quickly about the death penalty, repealing the death penalty. And then, of course, there's another measure with respect to the death penalty, 66, which is accelerating death penalty process. So either we're going to repeal it under 62, and if we don't, then we're going to accelerate it under 66. What's up with this?
I think voters have to decide, do they want to repeal the death penalty? If they do, they vote yes on 62, they vote no on 66. Do voters want to keep the death penalty and enhance the death penalty in the sense of speeding things up, having more lawyers? Then they vote yes on 66 and vote no on 62. The worst thing would be if both pass, because if both pass, only the one that gets the most votes prevails. So let's assume that the repeal of the death penalty gets 51% of the vote. Most of the voters say, yes, we want to get rid of the death penalty. The other one, 66, where we're speeding things up, gets 53% of the vote. Even though a majority of voters voted to get rid of the death penalty, it won't be gotten rid of because more voters voted for the other one.
Crazy.
So I think that's a problem. So you have to vote yes on one, no on the other, or vote no on both.
Yeah, that's crazy. Carrie, in 20 seconds or less, death penalty.
I lived in Singapore for a year. They had the death penalty. You want to get rid of guns in this country? You want to get rid of the drug problem? All you have to do is, and this is crazy. You literally use the death penalty. You use it quick. You use it fast, and then people stop doing those things.
So
we have a lot more people alive if we actually did that, because it would stop so many deaths. So yes, I mean, I think that living in a country where you don't have to watch your back all the time, living in a country you know you're not going to get shot, living in a country where there's 1% crime is wonderful. Do I think that's going to happen here? No, I'm for the death penalty.
You think people actually have the presence of mind doing capital crimes to consider whether or not the death penalty has an impact?
Yes, it's proven that the in Singapore, okay. Watch it. But it's a very small,
all right,
small
quickly,
country.
We have 2 minutes. Bob, let's talk about plastic bags really quickly. I have a problem with
We're
this.
We're going to end on plastic bags?
I have a problem with it. I'm telling you, these corporations, these companies that have been pushing to make us pay for bags because they are just environmental freaks, that they're so concerned about the environment, and then we're faced with having the money being given over for the environment, they're saying no. How do we make of this with the plastic bag deal?
Well, Proposition 67 is a referendum. What that means is the legislature did respond. The legislature passed a ban on plastic bags. The plastic bag industry was very upset with that, so they circulated a petition saying we don't want that to go into effect. And so for 2 years, the statewide ban has not been in effect. Local bans, L.A. and San Francisco, have been in effect. And so the proposition is, do we want to say the legislature was correct in banning plastic bags? If that's the case, you vote yes. If you don't want plastic bags banned, you vote no. Prop 65 was also put on the ballot by the plastic bag industry, very upset with the grocers, because the grocers supported the ban on plastic bags. And so what Prop 65 says is, if 67 passes, if the ban goes into effect, then all the money the grocers collect for plastic bags will go to an environmental fund. ironically, all the environmental groups are opposing Prop 65, saying it's just a ruse by the plastic bag industry.
Right. Now, you know, we only have a few seconds, so I have to wrap it up, but I really did want to talk about condoms and porn. We didn't get to that, the important things. That, of course, is a Proposition 60. We didn't talk about the...
we'll talk off air.
Off air. Prescription drugs, the prescription drugs one. We missed that one. Bob Stern, we want to thank you so much for being here at Gervie's Law. We really appreciate some really enlightening stuff.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thanks for inviting me.
And good luck with your voting. I hope it all comes clear on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We got to wrap it up. Go out there and vote. Vote, vote, vote. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
This election season, Angelenos need someone who is respected by the community.
I love Doug McIntyre in the morning. He's the way to start the day.
Someone who isn't afraid to take on the...